When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes, a Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Welcome to the Blood and Mud podcast, everybody. The podcast that's probably had just about enough of all this now and wants the sodding tournament to start. Thank you very much.
Oh, mega. Yeah, 100%. Like, make it all of this stop, please. I just want to have the real thing.
Yeah. We're inching slowly towards it, I suppose. I am Lee. Welcome, everybody. And you are?
I remain Josh.
We are both, and together we are unsatisfied. No, we're not really. We're well, a little bit. Anyway, yeah. If you want to get in touch with us and talk about how you wish the tournament was here a bit sooner, then you can get in touch with the pod at Blood and Mud. That's me, or Lee at bloodandmud.com. And Josh is...
At Josh Gardner and at Rugby Shirt Watch, and indeed rugbyshirtwatch.com.
That's Rugby Shirt Watch, by the way. Some people do get confused by that, although that is something we should maybe look at, but...
Yeah, let's just camp on that URL, if nothing else, you know.
We are on Acast, we are on Apple Podcasts, we are on anywhere you can find your podcasts, really. But also, most importantly, for you lovely people out there, supporters, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/bloodandmud. Thank you to everybody who offers us $2 a month, is all it'll cost you, just to say thanks very much, lads, for, you know, pumping out this semi-fucking miserable tosh every week, because it's right up my street.
Yeah, to be fair to us, we are cheaper than most podcasts, but at the same time,
we're
we
more
are
expensive
much worse
than
organized. Yeah, and also we're much, much worse organized than lot of them. So
that's,
you know,
true. So you can get yourself over to patreon.com/bloodandmud and just give it a little bit to say thank you very much and support us, and it is really, really, really helpful and thankful and useful and all those fulls. Top of that, there are some people, though, who say, not only do I want to come into the Aleb Brew Lounge, which is what our special membership area costs, there are people who then say, no, I want to give a little bit more and get a bit of recognition on the pod by going behind the rope of the VIP area. And that's paying a little bit extra. They're special people. And this week, I'd like to shout a big thank you out to Jesse Murray, who's joined the VIP Lounge. And I think Jesse more than a lot of people who joined the VIP Lounge, because it seems that he exclusively joined the VIP lounge to go onto the Patreon comments, which you can do, to tell us that he disagreed with us about Finn Russell.
I mean, fair play.
And you're love that. I love the fact that I can picture him a bit bowling down the street, a bit drunk, seeing this bird go, are those bastards in there? I'm coming in to get them told. Not before you pay your cover charge, you're not, pal. I'll happily do it, says Jesse. And then he comes and he got us told, thank you very much indeed. It was a nice chat, actually.
I mean, I respect the fuck out of that. to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done, Jesse, and so, well done, and indeed. Thank you, everybody.
Welcome. We like you anyway.
Welcome. Stay as long as you like.
Yes.
Shall we start, as we always start, with the player spotted?
Of course. Well, how else did we start?
Well, exactly. Tom Ozdoba gets in touch. Tom Ozdoba. He says, on the DMs, and he says, I've got a new player spotted for you, Lee. He says, last evening I was taking the dogs out. He lives in France, does Tom? He said, last evening I was taking the dogs out. Our corner brasserie was serving the Wolverine himself, Maxime Medard.
Wow.
Along with his partner and daughter, about 3 or 4 years old, did a polite hello, a bit of a chat about the schedule before Japan, one fullback to another. It was as pedestrian as his armchair ride versus Italy the other week. Imagine living somewhere where one that you have a corner brasserie. I live in Flint in North Wales. Such a thing is mystical to me.
Do you even have corners in Flint? Better than the brasseries put them on.
The two major corners in town, one has a pub on it and one has what used to be the NatWest Bank and the Midland Bank.
And obviously,
both of which are closed down. There have been two let signs on them. So, but yeah, not only do you have a corner brasserie, but you see French internationals lurking around there with their kids. Mm. That sounds like a nice place to live. Does that remind you of Aberdare, Josh? Is that an Aberdare vibe to it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're fucking tripping over brasseries.
To be fair, you're probably tripping over international rugby players in Aberdare, though, in all honesty.
Well, we're not. There's absolutely... Do you see that in the Wales squad? There is one player... two if you count Bather of the Valleys. But there's one player from the Valleys in the Wales squad, which is...
Jared Evans, is it?
No. Well, he's not in the squad.
Of course he's not. He was from Pontypridd. He was stood at Pontypridd talking.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Corey Hill is. Yeah. But, what's his face? Thomas Williams is from the Rhondda.
No. Yeah. It's lean pickings up there, then.
Well, you know, should I let you know how cultured and how we are falling over brasseries in Aberdare? There's recently opened an Italian restaurant that's ambitiously describing itself as an Italian dining experience. And it's just...
Asterisk, may not be Italian.
And apparently it's very good. I haven't been. But it is just called David.
I like it.
I mean, it's
David, as in the statue.
It
must be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's David. I don't know whether that's because David runs it, but yeah.
Are all the waiters nude like David? That'll bring it up.
But I can only assume that is
going for the hen party crowd. Don't go to Cardiff. Come here. Everyone's naked.
By all accounts, it is very nice. Although I'm slightly against it in that same building has housed a really bad all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet and a middling to poor Indian restaurant where once I spilt an entire curry all over the tablecloth and then tried to cover it up before the waiter came back.
What did you try and cover it up with if it was already on the tablecloth? A plate?
Oh, with one, like, you know, platter? They do the massive, massive napkins. Just put one of those down, put the curry on top of it. And then he removed the napkin and the curry and the huge stain revealed itself.
You didn't try and cover it with those trays with candles in they used to give you?
No, I didn't, no. What do you mean used to give you?
Well, I go to one now. The one I go to now. They have these hot plates that are in like, and they are in a heating thing, and they bring them out and put them down. Shit. There's none of the candles going on. The technology's moved on. It's like the longbow at Agincourt. You know, you got to keep up. Right then, that was that. Should we talk some? Believe it or not. Hang on, before we move off this, because I'm fascinated. Was it one of those restaurants that does Indian and Chinese under the same roof? One of those international
type
ones?
It was an Indian restaurant and then a all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet that got closed down by health and safety, and now it is David.
I never trust those ones that do all of the types of food.
Oh, mate, absolutely not. Yeah, if you serve more than one country of cuisine, I'm not interested.
What do you mean you do Thai, Indian, and South African food?
Yeah. There's a buffet restaurant in Bristol called Zaza Bazaar, which is the worst name for anything that's ever existed. That at one point, and possibly still is, it was the largest restaurant in Britain in terms of size. It's like a fucking aircraft hangar. And it's a world banquet buffet.
It's like an all-inclusive resort fucking dining experience, basically.
It does everything badly. and it's one of the worst places I've ever eaten.
Speaking of doing everything badly, back to the podcast, and let's talk with some news, shall we? Do we want to do Agustin Pichot in the news?
I mean, that guy just cannot... He's getting his oar in left, right, centre, back to front. That guy just cannot stop having an opinion right now, which is weird given he's been quiet as fuck while his, you know, doomed plan to totally overhaul Test rugby was frothing away, and now that's gone tits up. He suddenly developed a fucking...
That was quietly disappeared, again. Very quietly disappeared, that was.
Extremely quietly disappeared.
Matt on Twitter did say he's fascinated that Pichot doesn't seem to understand how his own organisation works.
Yes. And so, well, I mean, he's basically setting himself up as the reformer in chief, isn't he? He wants to be the next man in charge, and he wants to, in a sort of vaguely...
He wants to drain the swamp in a rugby sense.
Yeah, it's got that vibe about it. And I just...
He's the alt-right choice for world rugby.
With love and respect to Gus Pichot, great player that he was, and a man of a singularly strange profile picture on Twitter. Where
he sat on a bonnet. He only sat on the bonnet.
Yeah, with sort of wind blowing, and it very much has the look of a sort of, you know, early 2000s soft rock sort of crossover band vibe. But yeah, you know, he's getting it in everywhere. He's slating world rugby for this. He's slating world rugby for that. You know, it was the rankings. It's eligibility today. You know, he just cannot.
He knows
shut
he's
up.
A very senior guy, though. There, doesn't he?
Cause, yeah.
You know, anybody who's worked in a management structure in an organisation knows a little. Well, should know a bit of something about organisational responsibility. That you go into a room and your boss says, "We need to do this," and you go, "Well, I completely and fundamentally disagree," and they go, "Yeah, that's fine. We'll say it in here. What's the problem? Well, we still need to do that. All right, I'll change that a bit." And then you've got to go out and tell people what a great idea this is and how they all have to get behind it. That's kind of how organisations work, whether we like it or not, really.
Yeah, it is, you know, to borrow a horrible sort of PR term, it is about staying on message in public. And he seems to have lost the ability to give a fuck about that in the last week or so.
Is there an election coming? Is that what it is? Are these elected periodically? I should know this, but I don't. So
I mean, yeah, so should I. But I'm guessing that if it's not, he is probably... You know, in the style of all good politicians, now, you know, with the sport having more scrutiny on it than it ever will in a 4-year period over the next month, he is basically lining himself up to be the person who gets lots of retweets on Twitter for telling it like it is. And so when the next election comes around, he's got that vibe of a reformer, a person who's going to do, you know, who's working for the common man, etc., etc., and it's probably all bollocks.
Oh,
you know.
Agustin Pichot. It's about that it'll be, won't it? Anyway,
it all works, doesn't it?
Well, I can't be able to talk about it anymore. He's getting on my nerves. I'm sure he's getting a lot of
people. He fucked me off with you know, it's nothing to do with Wales. It's everything to do with Wales.
I did like your tweet on that. Yes, narrator, it was everything to do with Wales.
Of course it was. In the same way that, you know, everyone who's been whinging about it for the last fortnight, it's only because Wales are number one that they're kicking off.
Nobody cares about the ratings, though. Why do you keep fucking banging on about it all the time, then?
Yes.
Yeah. So what else have we got on the news? Sakopi Kepu is retiring at the end of the World Cup, he said.
Yes. Good player in his day. You know, perhaps... Where is he going to... Is he going to, inverted commas, retire and then fuck off to France for one month?
I don't know. He's retired from international rugby, so that's usually what's going to happen, isn't it?
Well, he's stupid if it doesn't. Yeah, I mean, he's 33. Fair enough.
Yeah, plenty. It's about right, isn't it? Especially front rower.
Yeah.
What other news have we got?
Mamuka Gorgodzi's come out of fucking international retirement to be named Georgia's World Cup squad, which is a brilliant way of avoiding pre-season.
And if there's a man who's earned the right to avoid pre-season, it's that man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't speak brilliantly to what's going on with Georgia at the moment, especially after they got humped by Scotland at the weekend, that they've had to pull a 35-year-old man out of retirement the week before the Rugby World Cup because they're like, fucking hell, we are fucked without him.
Literally fired a Batman sign up into the sky when he's come running.
Yeah. Also, 9 of the Georgia's 31 players in their squad, mainly backs, all play in the Georgian division, which... And a lot of their backs, basically their entire back division, plays either in Georgia or in Russia or Romania. And, I mean, they could surprise everybody. And their pack of forwards will always be fairly impressive, certainly with Gogodzi in there as well. But they don't look brilliant, do they?
No. It's almost like all the people with those thermonuclear takes about them were wrong. So, amazing.
Well, yes. Scotland rather demonstrated that by, you know, basically Indeed. Turning up and absolutely battering them. So, yeah.
In their own back garden, yeah.
Yeah.
Other news. Afiwe Diante's B sample is positive for anabolic steroids. That's him in trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a magnificently 80s thing to get caught with, though, isn't it?
It mega is. And he's blaming, in that most 2019 of way, he's blaming some sort of like supplement that he took.
Therapeutic use exemption.
I think he's actually saying, I took a supplement and I didn't read the label properly. And, you know, WADA's response to that. Yeah, WADA's response to that is, I don't give a fuck.
WADA's response to that is, chinny wreck on. And either way, we don't care anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, because what you get, what did Contador said that he ate some steak, didn't he? That's what he had.
Yes.
When he got caught. Ginseng tea, that was one. When it asthma, that's the other one.
Yeah.
And then always a random supplement.
The supplements, yeah. I mean, I'm disappointed after our chat last week that he didn't blame sex enhancement pills.
Yes, true.
From a petrol station, but you know.
I mean, you can't fucking move in Holland and Barrett for anabolic steroids accidentally getting in your system, can you? It's easy, done.
Who among us hasn't accidentally drunk a protein shake that was riddled with fucking anabolic steroids?
Who among us hasn't chomped on a flapjack to get you the last hour of a bike ride and ended up turning into fucking the Hulk.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Like, you know, it's so retro, anabolic steroids.
Yeah, I didn't think that was a thing. I thought the technology had well moved on. I think maybe it shows
it's all like HGH
how,
and fucking all that stuff.
This
now,
shows how
it?
Shit like the conversion rate on the RAND is.
Yeah.
So that's all you can afford, like really
all
old
we've
stuff.
Got is fucking horrible.
The sort of like crack cocaine of the steroid world, basically.
Yeah.
Really cheap end stuff. That.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we're being flippant about it, but it is a great shame because he's a very promising player.
He was. I mean, steroid is usually, is it the bulk up steroid? So is
well,
was he
yeah,
been
it's,
not
it's
big
aid
enough?
In recovery, and but yeah, it's to help you, you know, train harder, recover quicker, et cetera, isn't it? So yeah, it's maybe he was trying to get himself into some semblance of condition for the World Cup, you know, because he's injured at the moment. But.
I mean, of all the things they test for, you're going to get caught for, steroids. Maybe he thought steroids is so old-fashioned that they don't test for it anymore.
We've forgotten about it, yeah.
Yeah, we test for all the new stuff.
Well, it's an older code, sir, but it checks out.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Right, what's any more news from you?
I think that's about it. There's not
last
really
piece from me. According to ESPN, it's been leaked that the Premiership clubs have failed in their bid to end relegation.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah,
that's the end of that then.
Yeah. Oh, and Felix Jones, formerly of Munster, is now a defensive consultant for the Springboks for the World Cup.
Yes,
which,
saw that.
Who saw that coming?
yeah, bizarre.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes, a Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Acast recommends. Podcasts we love.
Changemakers is a new podcast series with me, Claire McKenna, talking to people who stand up, speak out, or challenge us to think a little differently.
It's about the greater good, families and children, respecting their own individuality.
In the next couple of years, like, I hope I never have to have conversations about racism ever again. Like, I just want to get to the stage where, you know, people are just people.
Nobody's pooling the resources together and actually being able to show how much of an impact it will make when people do come together.
Changemakers with Claire McKenna. Search for it now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the world's best podcasts, including the David McWilliams podcast, I'm Grandmam, and the one you're listening to right now.
So, shall we do the squad chat? Because all of the squads have been released, literally all of them.
Yeah, is it literally all of them?
Well, literally 10 seconds ago, or maybe like half an hour ago, the France
or it could be yesterday if you're now listening to this.
Yes, but as we talk, France have been released. Scotland is being released tomorrow, but all the important bits have been leaked. Ireland was supposed to be released on Sunday, and then all of the important bits got leaked, so they hurriedly brought it forward, which meant that they didn't have time to do their own little video that people would get pissy about who did it first. On the internet about. So instead they just had some Japanese writing. So that's basically everyone now. The All Blacks have released their squad. That was a couple of days ago. Yeah. So yeah, everyone who's sort of important in the grand scheme of things has basically released it now, I guess. No offense to everybody who hasn't. But yeah. So should we talk about them?
Yeah, where do we want to... Well, that's what we generally try to do, isn't it? So...
Yeah. Should we work in reverse order?
Go on then.
Because France have literally just been announced. So I will read out.
Yeah, because I don't have that, so you're going to have to read it out.
Yeah. So the squad is Girardot, obviously, Aldrat, yes. Siraj Bai, Demba Bamba, Yakuba Kamara, Camille Schat, Paul Gabriel.
Gabriag, yeah.
Yeah, Gabriel. Arthur Turia, Wenceslas Lore, Bernard Leroux, Mavuka, Olivon, Louis Picamoles, very surprising, made it in. Jefferson Poirot, Seitano, Slimani, Vahamina, Antoine Dupont, Gael Ficou, Fofana, Guiton, Uge, Camille Lopez, Machinot, Medard, Ntamak, Pinot, Thomas Ramos, Baptiste Saran, and finally, Virumi Vakatawa.
Whoa, so, hello.
Hello there, yeah.
Raka's in there, right?
Raka's in there. Big surprises in the misses out. No Felix Lambe.
Wow.
Yeah. He's gone for three locks, and one of them suspended.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, yeah, Gabriel's suspended, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's got Leroux and Vahamina as the two locks that can actually play, and presumably he's going to use Aturia as the sort of
floater.
Picamole and Camara both making it in is quite surprising. Danny Priso hasn't made it in. Anthony Bula, Bailu, or I can never pronounce that guy's name properly. And so they're the kind of ones that are not in the squad, I suppose. Quite a weird squad. I'm very surprised that Vakatawa seemingly,
he's come up on the rails, hasn't he?
Yeah, massively so. Like a proper late run at it, because it did seem like nobody really gave a fuck about him anymore, especially now that they unearthed Raka, who sort of basically seems like a Vakatawa who's actually learned how to play 15s. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see. They've certainly looked a more impressive unit over the last month than they did in the Six Nations.
They look fitter.
And
they look slightly more organised, even though they've not won every game or anything. But they look, did daft things, like people seem to know what their position requires of them, things like that,
Yes, You know, they actually picked fullbacks as fullbacks, and they're at least tangentially aware of where...
Something that resembles a functioning international centre partnership, things like that,
They do, yeah.
So yeah, in England's group, like obviously, we're going to do the, just let you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do the World Cup preview in two parts. First part next week, and then the second part of the week after. We'll go group by group, split them into two episodes, just so you know. So we're not going to go into the, you know, how will they do in the World Cup in huge amount of detail right now, but they are in England's group. Yeah. So interesting.
I do think that there's, it's really interesting, the picking of Pickemall, sort of after it seemed very much like he was on the fringes and unlikely to make the World Cup, is either a sort of testament to his ability to just keep coming back, even when people write him off, as happened quite a few times before, and might also be a little bit of a sort of safety blanket, I guess.
The thing with Pickemall is he's, he can do something other people can't he?
Yeah, that's very true.
And you can't, things like that are always worth a gamble, aren't they? So I suppose it's a bit like the Vaca Tower thing, when you need to fucking do something daft. Because he's not going to start, I would have thought, so it's when you need to do something daft, really, against someone.
No, I don't think picking three locks, one of whom is suspended for the first two games, is just brilliantly... There's got to be a bit of madness in a French World Cup.
I think the caveat with all of these, of course, is that it could all change in the next month and during the tournament anyway. You're playing in a tournament, it's going to be fucking boiling game, and humid as hell, and there's still a game to play. And it's not like in, you know, in some sports where your World Cup squad is what it is, and if you lose it, tough shit, you have to make do with what's left. You know, you do get to replace them, don't you? So
yeah, you know, the difference is obviously that it's a hell of a long way away this time. So
yeah, true.
Anybody on standby is going to have to be able to get out there pretty bloody rapido. But
French,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
it.
Yeah, it's an interesting squad. It's a squad that I think is going to do a lot better than I thought it would have done, you know, about 6 months ago, put it that way.
It looks like they'll put something approximating a dignified showing on, which at points didn't look like it would happen. Whether that's to do with Galtier coming in, I don't know. Maybe that's, whether that's to do with the fact that France just have too much talent, basically, and you can't keep them down forever.
Something's definitely changed for them, I feel.
There's something there, yeah. They are better organised. They do actually seem to have something looking like a structure, even with Lopez playing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, so what are we doing next?
Well, with Scotland, we haven't got the actual squad yet, but they have leaked who isn't going to be involved. And there are some pretty high-profile people not going, by all accounts, which is, I mean, it's quite bizarre, really, compared to, like, so Hugh Jones looks like he's missing out, according to Rugby Pass, who've got the squad. Now, you know, to be honest with you, he's gone from looking, you know, for all the money, like the best 12 in the world.
Yeah, people were using the L word inappropriately, weren't they?
Yeah. And now he's, you know, he's still called, you know, he's basically a try every other game as a international, but he hasn't. Yeah. I think there's issues with form and issues with defense are always going to be.
And Duncan
issue.
Taylor's fit again, isn't he? And people forget how well he was playing before he went through his hideous, you know,
injury heck. In addition to Hugh Jones missing out, there's also Magnus Bradbury, Matt Fagerson, Josh Strauss, and Rory Hutchinson. Now, Josh Strauss, I don't think many people expect, you know, he's quite old now. He's not. Scotland are not exactly blessed with a load of brilliant back rows, particularly sort of big ball carrying back rows. But I think if it was always going to be a shootout between him and, say, Blade Thompson, who's going to offer you more upside there? I think it's probably Blade Thompson, isn't it?
Hey, Strauss goes missing, doesn't he? He does.
He's had a lot of chances to prove that he's an international player, and he's not really convinced me a lot that he is as good a servant as he's been to Scotland since he qualified, obviously. I think Matt Fagerson missing out. Certainly from how they, you know, Scotland played on the weekend and how he individually played on the weekend, he couldn't have really done much more. And it's a case, probably, I guess, that this World Cup's just come a little bit too quickly for him.
it does make you realise, doesn't it, how, as a general point, fucking hard, isn't it, picking squads? Every Lions squad like this, sorry to mention that word, but that, you know, it makes you realise how bloody difficult it must be, because you're going to leave people out. And
yeah,
well, I mean, there's always, every team always has one, at least one or two positions, don't they, where you're like, God, yeah, you know, somebody's...
Fucking hell, that's Yeah, and it's because, you know, a World Cup squad is 31, you know, a Six Nations squad is quite often 35, sometimes even more. And it's that additional three or four people that, and I honestly, I don't understand why World Cup squads aren't bigger in this age of fucking player, you know, player
well,
welfare.
23 people for a match game as well, for a match squad, you know, it's a yeah. lot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, World Cup squads should probably be at least 38. Given the rigours that players have to go through.
There should be 44 with a midweek coaching team.
And a totally different midweek team, yeah. Yeah, and Rory Hutchinson as well, I feel bad for, because that lad literally could not have done anything else.
He's only 23, though, isn't he?
He's only 23, but he's 23, you know, 24. he comes in, he lights up the thing and looks brilliant. He scores a couple of tries on the weekend. You know, he gave it his absolute best go. But yeah, that's two centres that I know Scotland are blessed with centres, but I'm surprised he left both of them at home. I thought he would have taken one or t'other.
We'll find out though, won't we? I suppose.
We will find out tomorrow.
All of this is conjecture on one level, but you think they've come out quite strong, so the source must be quite good.
Yeah, and it's going to get announced, as you say, tomorrow. So, yeah. And Magnus Bradbury as well, obviously. Who
I like Maggie Bradbury.
Me too. Again, I'm not entirely convinced he's test standard yet. He's still learning it a little bit. But yeah, he's failed a bit of a numbers game there, isn't he? But I hope there's not the similar sort of unpleasantness we've seen today with the Ireland squad that greets fucking Blade Thompson getting ahead of him. But we will see. Speaking of which...
Ireland.
Yes. Supposed to be announced on Sunday. Hastily brought
so many leaks
after the Irish.
Somebody's getting such a fucking bollocking. I don't know who it is, but somebody somewhere in the Ireland rugby setup is in for a gigantic bollocking this week.
Who is the leaky fuck, as Malcolm Tucker
yes.
would have described it. So going through that Ireland squad, backs, you've got Bundy Aki, Joey Carberry on one leg, Jack Carty, who played very, very well on the weekend and basically kicked Ross Byrne into touch just by being excellent. Andrew Conway, Keith Earls, who we haven't seen hardly any of in the warm-ups because of injury, Chris Farrell, Robbie Henshaw, Rob Carney, Jordan Lama, Luke McGrath, who got in ahead of Kieran Marmion, Connor Murray, Gary Ringrose, Johnny Sexton, and the freshly shorn Jacob Stockdale. In the forwards, Tug Byrne, Rory Best, Jack Conan, Sean Cronin, Tad Furlong, Kian Healy, Ian Henderson, Dave Kilcoyne, Jean Klein, who we'll come back to, Peter Romani, Andrew
Porter. Who's basically an international war criminal, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's kills puppies. Rhys Ruddock, James Ryan, John Ryan, Niall Scannell, CJ Stander, and Josh van der Fleer. Particularly enjoyed on this Irish, the picture that they did to release the squad, which had everyone's names in Japanese underneath their name. And you'd be fascinated to know that CJ in Japanese is CJ. they've given up trying to translate it and literally just written CJ.
So the big news, obviously, is no Devin Toner, isn't it?
Yes. You know, arguably, after some things that went on in the Wales game, he probably arguably should not be playing for the first couple
of
Wales.
There's a risk that he might be banned anyway, yes, in course, yeah.
Yes, but the big sort of controversy has been, obviously, Klein being favoured over Toner. Devin Toner's like 33, and for all of his excellence and efficiency, he's not much of an athlete. And
he was pretty handy in the mall on Saturday. He was coming through them. He was a handful, or using his hands to be a hand, getting a handful of everybody in the mall. But I think the thing about Toner is that that period where everyone went, oh God, he's like the starting lock now, isn't he? Which was about 12 months long, came as quite a surprise, I think.
Yeah, because he'd never really shown that he was that good.
He was decent enough, wasn't he? And stuff. Yeah. And then it was like, oh wow, he's become sort of something. It looks a bit kind of indispensable here. But that was kind of the exception rather than the norm, wasn't it? So in a way, in my mind, in the past, he's 33 now, as you say. And in the, I don't know, the past, well, this year, basically, this year, he seems to have become what I kind of always knew he was. It sounds like I'm having a big go at him. I'm not. I'm just saying I think he's a very efficient and useful operator, but, you know, not he's not going to blow any doors off, is he?
Well, a theme that sort of a lot of the coaches, you know, particularly of the Northern Hemisphere nations, seem to have gone with is that they've looked at what kind of World Cup this is going to be, i.e. it's going to be played in the heat on hard grounds with probably not that much rain. And they've gone, well, we need athletes, you know, and we need players that can cover a lot of ground because there's going to be a lot of fast-paced rugby that's going on in this World Cup. And for all of Devin Tatona's qualities, an athlete he is not. in that sort of, you know, he's not Ian Henderson. He's not Tugburn. You know, he's... And when you look at the riches that Ireland have got in that second row in terms of pure fucking brilliant athletes, all-round rugby players and ballers, you know, it's... And like you sympathise with him because he's been a great servant for Ireland, and you know it was moderately unthinkable that he wouldn't have at least been in the squad this time last year. But you know he's been replaced by somebody who is a better physical specimen, you know, for this kind of tournament. And whether you like that or not, like. That is, you know, the fact that he's qualified 2 days or 2 years or 20 years before the start of the tournament doesn't really fucking matter.
Because that's the thing, it's not even a discussion about whether he deserves to be picked that's been happening, is it?
No.
You know, the stench that comes off the discussion is pretty mingy. Because if, like, say, I don't know, a fit Alton Dillon had been picked ahead of Devin Tona, you wouldn't be having this discussion, would you?
Oh, nobody would have really. But I mean, there would have been some sort of eulogy for Devin Toner's excellent international career, and rightly so.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't have been this outrage and this quite ugly, vaguely, you know, the sort of thing that happens whenever and it's not just Ireland, it's with most, you know, look at the Gareth Anscombe fiasco, you know.
Yes.
Whenever a time-serving player gets qualified for particularly a Northern Hemisphere country, you know, it doesn't seem to go down well, and people get very parochial and very sort of
John Klein
unpleasant about it.
Has caused much brouhaha, basically, hasn't he, on Twitter?
He certainly has with
many on Twitter demanding that something must be done to demand and to stop those who would qualify for citizenship of a country playing a recreational game for that country. That simply must be stopped.
Yeah.
So in order to join in with this, we've decided to make a list of residency rules that World Rugby should immediately bring in to stop this sort of thing from happening. Because we will not have somebody who would qualify as a citizen playing a recreational game for a national team. It's simply not on.
None of these fucking residency tourists, you know. I won't have it.
So, number one, you must be able to sing at least three of your chosen country's bleakest folk songs. And if you can sing five, you will be considered for captain.
Yeah. I would say that number two, you've got to adopt no less than three stray dogs or cats and then provide them basically a Richie Rich style existence.
Number three, your kids, however many kids you have, and if you gave birth to a new kid while in your new country, every single one of them must have the flag of their new nation tattooed on their face.
Agreed, yeah.
Bit like a sort of a Jewish circumcision type thing, except rugby and flags.
Yeah, exactly that. That you must also be able to recite pi to 13 decimal places in the language of your adopted country. If your adopted country has the same language as the one you already speak, you must make up a language that sounds vaguely like it could come from that country.
You have to make up a dialect.
Yeah, you must create a new language for your chosen
and get it officially registered, like the Ulster Scots language. You have to pretend that. It exists. Yeah. And anyway, yeah. Number four, you have to join the army and fight in a proper war.
Yeah.
If there's no proper war on at the moment, you have to start one and provide evidence that it was you that started it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you get to play a recreational game for your country.
Absolutely. You must move to the most industrially impoverished area of your chosen country, and then using your personal wealth, you must kickstart whatever long dead industry once basically sustained that area, and then bankroll their economic recovery.
You must write and perform a song that reaches at least the top 10 of the Eurovision Song Contest. If your new nation is not in a Eurovision area, you have to reach at least the live battle rounds of The Voice singing one of those folk songs that we mentioned before. Only way you're going to get picked, because down with this sort of thing.
Yes, and finally from me, you must exercise an ability with various tests to pinpoint exactly which kind of immigrants your specific country considers to be good immigrants and which ones they consider to be bad immigrants, and determine those with an accuracy of 100%.
You must start, linked to that, I think you must also start a nationalist populist political party and stand in for election. You have to do that. Yeah. And then finally, not only must you speak the language fluently of your new country, you must also choose a regional accent to adopt, and you have 6 months to perfect it from the minute you set foot on the tarmac. That's when the clock starts ticking. There'll be government employees paid to stand starting clocks on tarmac in airports just to make sure this happens.
Yeah.
If after 6 months you've not achieved this, you will not receive citizenship, you will not play for the country in rugby, and you will be fired from a cannon into the sea.
Honestly, I wish World Rugby, I'm not saying that, we're trying to sort of set our stall out for World Rugby presidency in a couple of years like old Gus Pichot is, but if World Rugby would just adopt these basic common sense measures
to stop this sort of thing, to stop poor Devin, crying salt tears down his giant, shiny, bald face.
I mean, if we can't do it for him, then what are we doing it for?
What is the rugby family about?
Yeah.
If we can't do this.
Telling foreigners to fuck off.
So there you go. Now, I'm telling you something. If there's a tweet from Augustin Pichot in the next week saying that he wants to start firing people out of cannons, I'll know exactly where he's got it from. So
absolutely.
I'm not going to put it, and I won't put it past him either, the shithouse. Mm. Right then, are we still on squads? Sorry, diversion. We were, aren't we?
So from the Ireland squad, Jack Carty is probably the big surprise. Connacht 10, who's brilliant on the weekend, to be honest.
Impressive as every time he's had to do anything in a green. I mean, the international green shirt, not the green shirt.
As bad as Ross Byrne, heir apparent next big thing was the week before against England, Carty was good. And absolutely.
He had a better run of it with his forwards performance though than Byrne.
Absolutely, he did.
In Byrne's defence. But obviously Schmidt's gone, regardless of Ross Byrne's, big cup experience in the European Cup. He fancied Jack Carty instead. Sorry, I punched my microphone. I do apologize.
Yeah. Geordie Murphy, who I think is a bit unlucky to miss out, but Reece Ruddock gets in.
I think Joe Schmidt likes Reece Ruddock. He plays quite often.
Yeah.
He always comes back to me.
I respect Reece Ruddock a lot. I think he's an incredibly hard-working player and every team needs them. But, I mean, it is a bit weird that they're still persisting with him at this stage,
Joe Schmidt likes him and he looks like a mechanic. Looks like he should be in overalls,
He absolutely does.
And that's exactly the kind of thing you should be selected. To be fair, I mean, where do people stand on Reece Ruddock getting selected?
Yeah.
Was he was born in Wales, wasn't he?
He absolutely was, yeah. Or, I mean, his dad was the bloody coach of Wales.
I know that, but did Reece go over as a kid? That's probably allowed.
Let's find out. Reece Ruddock was born in... he's born in Dublin.
Oh, was he when thingy was over there? All right, then. Sorry about that.
Fair enough.
All right, then. He's not stealing the place of a righteously born Irish person.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's the Ireland squad. Interesting if... I mean, they looked a lot better at the weekend. There's no doubting about
that. It's almost like it's a process, isn't it, this pre-season
thing? Yeah, they were up against, obviously, a Wales team that had never met before, but they looked dramatically more coherent, and the forwards were just not nearly as bad. And as well, it should have been, to be honest. If they'd have had two performances as bad as the one against England, I think that would have been cause for genuine, proper alarm.
What do we think about Steph Evans's bother boy haircut?
I mean, it's just the latest offence in a long, long, long list of hair crimes that we've seen over this World Cup warm-up cycle, to be honest.
Yes.
And if Gatlin decided not to pick him purely on the basis of that Barnett, I wouldn't hold it against him. Speaking of Wales, should we do All Blacks or Wales first?
Let's do the All Blacks, go on.
Yes, nothing particularly shocking about that. No Owen Franks is a big...
That was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Bit of a shock, yeah. No Lumapé either, which, I mean, he's been brilliant for the last 2 years. And, yeah, I'm surprised.
He also brings a little bit of something else, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he's just an absolute pocket rocket, isn't he? And... yeah, I feel for him. You know, you look at that midfield now, and it's like Jack Goodhue, Ryan Crotty, Lynette Brown, and Sonny Bill. Like,
I mean, it's not bad.
It's a good midfield.
Let's not dice too much here. It's not bad.
With the exception of Sonny Bill, who obviously, to be fair to him, is getting on a bit now. They're not really a sort of game-changing midfield. They're just an absolutely rock-solid, honest as the day is long, effective, hard-carrying, good defensive midfield, which, to be honest with you, with the attacking talent the All Blacks have got everywhere else, is probably all they need.
No Liam Squire either.
No Liam Squire indeed, no. And, so who said that he wasn't mentally and physically ready to play, which is fair enough. Mm.
Last time for Kieran Reid, of course. Will we see his like again?
And the big thing about with the All Blacks, of course, is they are... understandably, but still sort of riskily, they are taking the risk of picking Brody Retallick, who...
Shoulder injury, was it? Shoulder nerve damage or something?
Yeah, 100% still injured.
Of all the players you're going to go for...
Yeah.
He's very, he's basically New Zealand's Corey Hill, isn't he? Lots of people say that about Brody Retallick, don't they?
Same thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it does seem very much like, you know, Brody Retallick is unlikely to be ready for the start of the World Cup. And, well, basically, Steve Hansen, in slightly cocky news, has said that Retallick's unlikely to be available until the quarterfinals. Which,
I mean, to be fair, I don't think there's much to worry about there, is there?
No, but... yeah, that is still a big old roll of the dice. You know, it's basically saying we will not have this guy until the group, you know, until the knockout stages, and then we will hope that after 16 weeks out, he's going to be in a position where he can start a World Cup quarterfinal or be in any way part of a World Cup quarterfinal. That is a big old ask.
I do think, looking at this, you know, they are undoubtedly... right up there, as you know, as they always are. But I'm not as terrified as I would have been,
honestly,
maybe a couple of years ago.
This is not the scariest All Blacks team.
They'll probably still win it, but I don't think anybody should go in there shitting themselves about it too much.
No. I think any team, you know, well, not any team, but certainly any team in the top five in the world, maybe even six, can look at that All Blacks team and think, we can have a crack at that. England could beat them, South Africa could beat them, Ireland could beat them. who knows about Wales? Probably couldn't beat them, to be honest, because that's Wales. Australia could beat them. You know, it's
yeah.
It's they look eminently get at-able, which is not always the case for the All Blacks before a World Cup. Which, to be honest, given how the All Blacks have generally dealt with massive expectation leading into World Cups, they're probably quite happy about. If people are going to sort of underestimate them or think that they look beatable, that's probably more helpful to the All Blacks than everybody sort of assuming that they're going to be brilliant. But we'll see.
And finally,
Wales.
Rob Evans. What the fuck's that all about?
That's the one, isn't it? The one that will... Should Wales not do well at this World Cup, that is the one that is going to be the one that people are going to be asking questions about for a very long time.
I genuinely don't understand it. You know, I'm trying to work it through, because he's not injured.
No.
And he's... Samson Lee, I understand not being in there. He's been, you know, you're not really sure about it, as much as I love the fuck.
He's basically been injured for a year.
Yeah.
Apparently, Carey has been picked ahead of him, both because of how impressive he's been since he came into camp, where Gatland basically kind of, as he is now allowed to do, because he never has to go back to Wales ever again after this, basically in the press conference yesterday was like, why hasn't this guy been developed, like his transfer, like he basically said from the start of camp until now he has totally come on to a terrifying level as a player, and he's slightly baffled as to why the Blues
why have
the Blues been played in four times last season, you know, it's which, you know, it's fair enough to ask, but yeah, and obviously they feel like being 6 foot and change and 20 odd stone, that Carey is going to be is more durable than Rob Evans, who has had a lot of injury problems over the last couple of years. And they basically, this because the reason that Rob Evans hasn't gone is because of Corey Hill. Basically.
Well, because you can't carry two injury risks in one squad effectively.
Well, because he wanted to keep Corey Hill with a broken fucking leg in the squad. Still slightly baffled about that.
Warren and Corey in a tree. K-A-S-S-I-N-G. Fucking loves him, doesn't he? Absolutely loves him.
Massively appreciates his leadership abilities and everything else that he brings. And fair enough, he plays very well. But because of that, you know, you've got Jake Ball, Adam Beard, Alan Wynne-Jones, and one, you know, he wanted four available locks, and he's got Aaron Shingler as the sort of
the floater,
the play everywhere man. But in order to accommodate Aaron Shingler and Corey Hill in the same squad, he's only taken five props, and he's going to have Wynne-Jones playing on both sides if need be in case of emergencies. The Corey Hill thing, I'm not happy about it because taking a player who's having to sleep in an oxygen tent in the hope of being
taking
fit.
1976 Elvis, basically, to an international rugby tournament is probably not a good idea.
With less burgers, hopefully.
But can't rule it out.
Yeah, it's a weird, it's a big old risk, and it shows the importance of.
Well, who would go if he wasn't there? Seb Davis.
Well, it'd be Brad Davis.
Brad Davis, wouldn't it? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, in terms of the squad, but
yeah, because Shingler's coming.
If Hill can't recover, I would be very surprised if they don't just stick with the ones that they've got and Aaron Shingler, and bring Rob Evans out. But
if Moriarty gets injured, is Navidi the eight?
Yeah.
Well, I like Navidi, but. Want to play a World Cup quarter final with Justin Reedy as your eight, would you?
Absolutely not. Well, that's why the absolute worst part of Saturday was, and next going to be next Saturday as well, is holding my breath that Ross Moriarty never has to come on the field at any point, because if he gets injured, we're fucked. Because there are no more number eights in Wales. Really?
No. Speaking of back rowers, I didn't realise until I read friend of the pod, Jamie Phillips's tweet, what Aaron Wainwright's backstory was. And I knew he'd come out of nowhere.
Oh, it's incredible.
But I had no idea he effectively was being a footballer till he was 16, then went, oh, I'll give rugby a lash then, shall I?
Yeah, well, he got turfed out by the Cardiff Academy, you know. And they got to... It's so recently was he turfed out of the Cardiff Academy that his final sort of player photo for Cardiff is him wearing that red shirt.
The red shirt? Cardiff, the
when Cardiff rebranded. Yeah.
Victor, that Vincent?
Very, very recent because it was. Because
you know, they've only gone back in blue last season, didn't they?
Yeah, a couple of seasons ago, but it's like, yeah, that was when he was 16, which would have been, you know, 7 years ago.
Mad.
Terrifyingly.
What a talent, though, man. Yeah, so this professional football thing's not working out. I'll go and play a couple of games of amateur rugby, then become a professional rugby player. Oh, and then become an international rugby player.
I'll go play for Whitehead's RFC at 17 and then be playing.
He gets injured. He's probably playing in the Ryder Cup in 2 years or something. I've got to have a lash on the Celtic Manor golf course. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there are good things about this Wales squad, I think. I'm really excited by Rhys Carey because he just is an absolute massive man. And it's hard not to get.
And but he's interviewed. He's very, very likable. He's a very charming lad.
Yes. And yeah, he's just huge. Apparently, he's lost 10 kgs since the start of Wales camp, and he's still over 20 stone.
I'm sorry to divert to other sport, but on Saturday night, I'm married 20 years this year, and on Saturday night we had a party for that.
Congratulations.
So that's why I'm a bit tired today, because we were cooking for like 50 people and having to entertain and things.
It's a lot.
But about 10:30 on the Saturday night, my mate shouts to me from the living room, Lee, come and have a fucking look at this. And I went in and the cricket was on. It was West Indies versus somebody. And there was a gentleman batting for the West Indies who, I'm sad to say, I haven't seen before. But believe me, ladies and gentlemen, look this up immediately. Have a look up Rakeem Cornwall, who plays for West Indies. I walked in and looked at him, I thought, I don't understand this. I don't understand this at all. I have no understanding of how this is a thing.
I mean, I've just seen a photo of him and I don't understand it, but I'm extremely keen to see more.
It's like Clarence Beef Tank has gone to play cricket.
He weighs 140 kgs.
He is fucking massive. His bat looks like kindling in his hands. And I think he's an all-rounder. I think he bowls spin and bats. Yeah. And my God.
What? When you're that big, surely you've got to be a pace bowler. You're 100. Imagine that.
Yeah, but imagine having to run in brilliant. Carrying that heft, though. You'd be like one over sessions, or maximum two sessions a day. Yeah. But honest to God, he is conspicuously fucking enormous.
Huge. Yeah. I've never seen anyone like that playing cricket before.
No, it's remarkable. I'm sure there'll be lots of cricket fans listening. I used to watch a lot of cricket, but I've lost touch a bit. And he's startling. So have a look.
Yeah, he is 6'5" and
and he's fat, man. Let's be honest, he's quite chubby.
He is 308 pounds.
He looks like a left tackle or something, doesn't he? He looks like a
Well, that's the thing. That's 6'5" and 308 is left tackle level, you know.
But there he is bowling off
there
breaks.
There he is bowling spin.
Bowling off breaks and batting at eight and trying to...
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But that's what Carey brings to the Wales squad in a way, because it's like there is no substitute sometimes for a very large human.
Yep.
And particularly from a ball carrying point of view, I'm really excited about the prospect of Wales bringing him on 60 minutes into a test match and saying, go on, Reece. Just fill your boots, mate.
It's like Will Skelton's career. Look at what he got away with. Yeah. Just because he was fucking enormous, basically.
Exactly. But he, in similar parallels, where's Rhys Carey going after the World Cup?
Oh, of course he is, yeah. Oh, they're slimming right down there. He looked like a Terminator by the next Six Nations, this fella.
Well, that's what I'm really hoping for. If Rhys Carey comes back from the World Cup, goes to the Saracens and then becomes as good as all the Saracens props are, then, I mean, it's a very, very good post-Gatland loose head world there, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah.
Other than that, no great surprises, is there?
No, I mean, I am baffled as to what Hallam Amos has done to deserve to be in the squad, if I'm brutally honest. He's done fuck all.
Is he a bit bigger than Owen Lane? He's not, is he?
No, Owen Lane's fucking massive.
He's massive, isn't he? Lovely finish as well on Saturday.
Owen Lane's also very funny, as he basically said that it was a real privilege to earn his first cap, even if he had to share it with Reece Carey, which made me laugh after Carey said that it was a real pleasure to share it with his mate Owen Lane. But yeah, I'm still baffled by it. Because
they're thin in the centres, aren't they?
That's the thing. They've not picked... Now, Scott Williams, like, it's fucking... Gatland said today, right, that at the start of Wales camp, Scott Williams' back injury was so bad that he was not able to bend over and pick up a training cone. And yet some... Like, to be honest with you, he looked pretty shit on the weekend.
But so did everybody, apart from Reece Patchell.
So did everybody, apart from Reece Patchell. And also, that was his first game in you know, the best part of a year. And it was also 8 weeks ago he couldn't touch his toes.
But yeah, I mean, he genuinely covers 12 and 13. He's very, very good in defence. And he is experienced.
I think it's a big mistake, personally.
We like Owen Watkin.
Yeah, but... I would have picked four centres.
That's true.
Fair to point. Be honest. and
Hallam Amos, for example.
Yeah, like I when you look at the versatility across that back line, you know, with Halfpenny's ability to play wing and full back, George North's ability to play. I mean, is the plan to play George North at 13?
Oh, come on now. Come on, please, it can't be.
Please, no. But yeah, I don't know what...
Just that, you
know,
very idea should have Wales fans weeping right now.
I mean, let's not forget, you know, at the last World Cup, we were playing Lloyd Williams on the wing at one point, so...
That worked out all right, didn't it, you bastards?
It worked out fine, but, you know, absolutely anything could happen in the next... As you know, a hell of a lot...
Do you want to go on, happened? Lloyd? Yeah, okay. What do you want me to do? Just get the ball on the wing and twat it as hard as you can towards a post, see what happens. Oh, that's happened. Fucking hell.
But, you know, we all remember what happened in the final warm-up game in the last World Cup. You know, everybody's saying that this thing is somehow fucking set in stone now. We lost Lee Halfpenny and Reece Webb against fucking Italy last time in our final warm-up game. So...
That's seared into your memory.
Yeah, never going to... You know, and nobody here is safe until the World Cup is over, as far as I'm concerned. And, but yeah, I do think Hallam Amos's versatility is good. Fine, whatever. I just don't. I'd have picked Owen Lane ahead of him, to be honest. I certainly would have picked Scott Williams ahead of him. And yeah, I don't see what he's done. But Gatland obviously likes something about him, and he always has liked something about him.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he? Yeah.
He's always there when he's fit.
It's not often that I think you play half an hour in a. Coaches don't base their decisions on like half an hour in a random warm-up game, do they? However, I think they do if you're Reece Patchell and the current situation at 10 with Wales.
Well, it's
like, yeah, that's fucking good enough. You're in.
Yeah, well, Gatland's, you know, was quite upfront about it before the game and basically said it's those two who are fighting it out to be the other 10 in this squad. And yeah, I mean, I really do feel for Jared Evans because I think he could be a very good player for Wales one day, but he did not take his chance at all. And Reece Patchell came on and just looked exactly like Reece Patchell looked when he became Wales' first choice 10, you know, 12 months ago.
Yes, indeed. People forget that, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's born 12 months ago now, but you know, the 2018 Six Nations, you know. He was Wales' number one fly-off, and we were talking about him being, you know, the full, complete all-round 10 that we'd been waiting for. And then
he's got a lot of hair, Reece Patchell.
There's
a lot of hair going on there.
That he has got an entire. Look at his forehead. He's barely got
how
any
many
forehead.
Follicles per square inch do you think you're dealing with?
Oh, it's
there?
Dense. It sort of refracts light around it. It's remarkable.
It's got its own weather system, as a quote, a questionable film. right, that's it. Let's be on to shit good.
Oh God, yeah, absolutely. Shit.
Okay.
Yes. Shit, the endless number of times that we're going to hear the phrase carry by name, carry by nature from commentators over the next few months. Simon Thomas unfortunately said that about 2 weeks.
Oh, Simon.
And, you know, as a sort of gag, it's fine, but I've since heard at least two other Wales Online journalists use it in articles, and I will bet any amount of money you like that it's going to get rolled out by a commentator in Wales versus Georgia.
I'm covering England, Italy, and Wales Island this weekend. So I really am going to get the dog end of whatever resembles a test game, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're talking shit while we're there, the fact that, I mean, these meaningful real test matches that we're having, Eddie Jones and Conor O'Shea both wanted to play the full 31 players in... and only didn't do so because World Rugby went, no, you can't do that.
This is not football, as Nigel would say.
This is not a real game otherwise. And if you try to play, you know, it's already been attributed test status. And if you do that, you'll lose your test status and we can't use you can't use officials then, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, A, surely this should have been consulted beforehand, and B, it just reminds you exactly how pointless and meaningful these games are, you know?
Yes.
Or meaningless, I should say. So enjoy that.
What else we got? The shit. Barry O'Sullivan gets in touch and he says, shit, is Barry is Ireland's communications department?
Yes. Well, I mean, not entirely their fault, but yeah, somebody was had a really shit morning over in the communications department in the IRFU today. Actually, shit, speaking of thinking about it, is squad leaks.
Yeah, because who's doing that?
Because somebody, you know, they weren't supposed to find out until Sunday, right? So Devin Toner, as much as, you know, we've said that he needs to take it on the chin, instead of getting phoned up by fucking Joe Schmidt on Sunday morning and going, I'm sorry, Devin, you haven't made the World Cup squad. He's had to read about it in the Irish Independent. I think that's a bit shit, if I'm honest.
Yeah, there is something about, yeah, journalists should go, no, I'm not doing it, really. It was a daft thing to do. Of course you're going to do it. It's a scoop. It's your job.
Yeah, I scoop. I blame the person who's leaking it from the squad, to be honest, not the journalists that are reporting it. Bit of a shit thing to do.
What have we got here? KH gets in touch and says, shit, is Luke McGrath, Rory Best, Conor Murray and John Klein going to the World Cup? Oof, that's pretty strong, KH.
I mean,
you don't want your captain.
Some of them, yes.
You don't want your captain and you don't want arguably one of the leading scrum halves in the world going. I find that confusing. I know Conor's not in great form and now there's Rory Best, but I don't think it's value over replacement territory here.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Kieran Marmion and Luke McGrath are better than Luke McGrath and my name. Where's my brain gone? My brain is just totally.
Kieran Marmion and Luke McGrath is that better than Conor Murray and any of the other?
There
ones?
We go. Conor Murray's name just like popped out of my head for a second.
Well, maybe
there.
That's KH's point. You see, he's becoming so anonymous, we can't remember him. He's not had a great year. He's not had a great year, but I don't think we can throw that much experience and class out. No.
Yeah, I'd still much rather have
Ditto
than
Rory Best.
Yeah, well.
I like Rory Best, right? And he's got a very long, obviously a distinguished career. And
absolutely.
He should be praised for it. I do think they go in a bit on the hyperbole with him, though.
Honestly, I this won't go down well in Ireland, I appreciate. But I think that he has consistently been one of the most overrated hookers I've ever come across. Purely on the basis of he was never that good at throwing. He was never that good at scrummaging. He was always quite good over the ball and he made his tackles. And that was basically enough for him
to get
the
captaincy
one of the
after
best
a vote
in the world. Yeah.
Or something like that. It wasn't like a kind of I've emerged as an incredible leader sort of
Bod,
thing.
Bod retired and O'Connell had retired and they didn't know who to make captain. And so they basically did a private vote and he got the most.
Which says a lot about his colleagues, I suppose.
He is absolutely a leader, but in terms of his quality as a player.
And it sounds like I'm saying he's a bad rugby player. I'm not. It's just that a lot of his, a lot of the eulogies of his career have started, and he should be given absolute respect for the career he's had. But they're almost talking like he's one for the ages, and I don't hold with that at all. Really,
no, I think he's been a perfectly good player for Ireland. He's been Ireland's best.
And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But
no, yeah. And he's been Ireland's best hooker in probably the worst era for Irish hookers that I can ever remember. Like, there, it's been a truly, there's the cupboard has been bare.
There's been no outstanding replacement putting their hands up, as they put it that way.
No, you know, you've only had to look at the players that they've had to, so they've tried to sort of crowbar into that. And, you know, it looks like that's changing a little bit now. And I think that, you know, some of the hookers that are coming through in Ireland look quite decent. But yeah, certainly for the last 10 years, the cupboard has been very bare. And I think that's probably, if you're an Ireland, because he's the only one they've got, in the same way that, like, if your only outside centre is Jonathan Davis, as was Wales's case for a very long time, and arguably still is, you know, I probably rate Jonathan Davis higher than I should do because he's what we've got. Although I do think he's very good. Yeah, it's a funny one, that.
No, and again, yeah. I'm not trying to, I don't know.
No.
It just, I always find it strange when people
saying he shouldn't be at the World Cup is probably a bit strong.
That's a bit strong, KH, yeah.
But I understand the sentiment that he's perhaps quite a way past his best.
Frey Goodman gets in touch and says that shit is the poor effort made by streakers in the modern game.
Honestly, don't even take your fucking trousers off, son.
Boxer shorts and shirt on it, I heard. Or yeah, did he still have full strides on?
He might have had his boxer shorts on, yeah.
But still, either way, it's a disgrace.
Take your fucking shirt off. My God's sake.
Our friend Mike Bubbins on Twitter said that if I'd have been the steward, I'd have caught him, stripped him off, and made him walk back to his seat with no clothes on, because there are standards that must be upheld. And he's quite right as well.
He's, you know, Mike's an uncompromising man in those that regard. And I support it.
Any more shit from you?
Shit is the absolute brass neck of Premier Sports to be upping their monthly price by £2.
You've been carrying this wound for a good few days now, haven't you?
Honestly, like, the cheek of them asking you to spend, you know, more than what BT now costs per month for such a much more inferior product. And, you know, there were plenty of people who were basically fucking, you know, unable to watch the Scotland game on the weekend because it was just cutting out constantly. And they're just not good at it. And they're acting like they're big time. And they're charging big time money. But they can't even get a fucking channel in HD yet that looks decent. And I just feel like, genuinely, I feel like I'm getting the piss taken out of me because people like me and
have to
watch them.
Yes.
Yeah, I've got, and you know, if you are a fan of a Pro 14 team, you have no choice really but to subscribe to Premier Sports. And because of that, they're basically just milking us for cash while not making their product in any way noticeably better. And it's fine sometimes, but it's usually fine when either it's the Irish stuff, who seem to spend a bit of decent money on it, or it's the all Welsh stuff where Sunset and Vine do a decent job of. But, like, anything else is fucking dreadful.
I've used it as a Premier player a few times, and I've never had a problem with it, I must say. I'll throw that out there. I've never had an issue with it online.
I find that the Premier Player's Android app is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I think I've only used it on the desktop.
Yeah, it's maybe not too bad on there, but honestly, like, if you're not ready to do this shit, then, like,
if you're having the same experience of going to one of those, like, livesports.eu type websites,
well, yeah, there's a couple of times that I've had to watch illegal streams because Premier Player's fucked or doesn't work properly, and that's just, I'm paying £12 a month for that.
So Premier Sports, you've made Josh break the law through no fault of his own, but he's trying to pay good money.
Yeah. Indeed paying good money.
What else have we got here? Catherine Kavanagh gets in touch. Hello, Catherine. She says, shit is Irish rugby Twitter today. Absolutely disgraceful. Smacks of Farage. Lots of people outing themselves as nasty little islanders.
Yeah.
But we've given you the answer, Catherine. It's solvable.
Yeah. Yeah. Just follow our however many points that was planned.
Nobody can complain then.
No.
Ian Wheeler gets in touch.
It's been a bit nasty.
Yeah, it's been a bit shit, really. It is horrible, isn't it? It's horrible when, you know, I don't like it when rugby sometimes reveals itself as being a bit too rugby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We love rugby, but sometimes it is a bit like, no, man.
That's rugby has a sort of, there's a stereotype of rugby that is, I don't think, very fair and doesn't reflect a lot of the vast majority of the people who I interact with regarding rugby, about rugby being a sport of fucking reactionary arseholes, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, then there are times.
But history
like
proves that it is, and then sometimes that comes racing to the surface.
And it sort of makes you. I wouldn't say it makes you like the sport a little bit less, but it makes you go, "Oh, that's a shame that this is the thing that I am."
But sport reflects society, doesn't it, Josh? You see,
it does.
Every element. There's people like, there's annoying twats like us, and there's annoying twats like them. So fair enough.
True that.
Ian Wheeler gets in touch and says, "As shit is Laurent Goujon's response to stamping on Richie Gray's face and putting it down to a stupid gesture of annoyance," he said. He makes it sound like he sighed a bit in an exasperated fashion, yes. A stupid gesture of annoyance.
I mean, technically he's correct, but it's also...
I mean, who hasn't stamped on somebody's face when you're a little bit annoyed? Come on, among us?
Therein lies the everything, yeah.
Go on.
Are we going to do good now?
I've got a few more shits here. Tom Dare says that shit is Georgia. Any talk of them being in the Six Nations come March when Italy are collecting the wooden spoon again? I want them to improve and develop too, but getting beasted at home by Scotland shows they're still miles off a tier one placement. Yeah, agreed.
Not just getting beasted by Scotland at home, but getting beasted by Scotland at home in front of a third empty stadium.
They know what these games are about. Even though there's meant to be begging for rugby over there, even they go, I'm not turning up to that shit, but they say it in Georgian, obviously.
Historic game, couldn't be bothered, and says a lot.
Last shit, Evan Quick gets in touch. He said, shit is the pissed up bloke in front of me, I'm assuming in Cardiff, with a fucking vuvuzela trying to whip the crowd up.
Absolutely no. I know.
Where did you even get that from? He said, good job someone called a steward to remove the said instrument because I feared damage would have been done, as he had a few choice looks by everybody around him. Yeah, indeed. And quite right too.
It's really interesting. Like, how, remember when like the South Africa World Cup happened and then everybody fucking bought a vuvuzela, and then they literally lasted about 2 weeks before they were banned at all British sporting events. And
down was... with this sort of thing, yes. We only do extreme violence in our football ground. You will not blow an annoying horn.
Absolutely not.
Right. Shall we move on to good? Let's go. What have you got?
Yes, let's do that. Jacob Stockdale, now that he's had a haircut.
Look, yes.
You cannot deny the absolute reverse Samson-esque change in his play from last week to this week. High and tight, and all of a sudden he's looking like a good winger again.
Richie Craven got in touch agreeing with him. He said, good was Schmidt deciding that the first order of business after last week was to take a pair of clippers to Stockdale's head. I love this.
Absolutely true.
I love the idea that he's like, in the video analysis afterwards, he goes, I've looked at this and the thing is, there's alignment problems and stuff like that, but it mostly comes down to Jacob, your hair's coming off. I don't want to cut my hair. And then Joe turns to Andy Farrell. Andy, sit down in that fucking chair before I knock thee down.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a bit of a Full Metal Jacket vibe. Let's go.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? And I'm all for it.
Dave Kilcoyne was fucking all over the place, wasn't he? Who knew he had that in him?
I tell you what, as I said on Twitter, I think that Sean Edwards will want a word in Josh Navidi's shell-like for the way he fell off that first tackle.
Yeah.
Everybody else missing Kilcoyne, I can understand. He got a head of steam up by then. He actually stepped off his left foot, though. When you look at it, you think, God, he missed that. But he did
wrong-footed him a little bit, yeah.
Lovely left foot step, yeah.
That is It might be the best game you'll ever play, and what a waste of a game to play it in.
What else we got? That's good. Edinburgh Rugby gets in touch, friend of the pod, and he said, good is a reception we got from the Georgians in Tbilisi. Also pleased someone has come to visit. He said, not so good, however, was the state of me after accepting their city's hospitality with over-eagerness.
I would imagine so,
imagine
yes.
A piss up in Tbilisi is quite the experience, yes.
Yeah. Good for me. Both Richie Gray and the aforementioned Liam Squire for not buying into the relentless sport trumps everything else bullshit that so often gets peddled to and by professional players. Like Gray has been, you know, he's turned down two invites to come to Scotland training camp over the summer and has basically said, nah. I've been injured constantly for the last 2 years. I'm finally fit again and playing. And I've got a young family and I don't want to go to Japan.
And I'm not turning up to hold some tackle bags on the off chance you might need me.
Yeah. And Liam Squire equally, you know, he's been injured himself and he's, you know, as we said earlier, he said, you know, he's prioritising his mental health and he doesn't feel ready for it yet. And, you know, good on the pair of them for just going, you know what, something is more important than this fucking World Cup that everybody has been building up to be the most important thing in the world for the last 4 years.
Richie Gray as well, I think, to be fair, Toulouse have supported him for 2 years through all that as well, haven't they? So there's something about, no, I'm not going to get my knee done in a bloody rucking drill.
Yeah. I'm going to do it in a Toulouse game instead.
Yes. But at least then I can look you in the eye when I'm on the treatment table. Yeah. Graham Gulvin gets in touch. He said, good is the prospect of Scotland playing any combination of Taylor, Harris, Hutchinson, Johnson and Jones in the centres. It's a long call as opposed to the unmitigated dross from 8 years ago, i.e. Nick DeLuca, Andy Henderson, Graham Morrison, Rob Dewey and Sean Lamont. Oh. A litany.
When you can leave Hugh Jones and Hutchinson at home.
Yeah, indeed.
My friend, you have not done too bad.
Not done too bad. Patricia says, good again is the man with the accountant's name, Andrew Conway, who, she also adds, looks incredibly like a skinny Sam Underhill. He does, doesn't he?
there is a bit of that. Yeah.
What else have I got here? Good Ben says, Scotland unearthing an all-round centre in Hutchinson, but Townsend will probably leave him at home, though. Rob Oram says, good is the passing of the fuck it, I'll do it myself fidding baton in the Italian team to it, what it looks like, Jake Poledri, actually.
Poledri was Poledri is basically better than Sergio Parisse now. And
yes, well, now,
and
yes.
Better.
Yeah.
And arguably, you know, he's approaching Sergio level in Sergio prime in terms of just like, yeah, I'll do everything, lads. Don't worry about it. I love him.
Yes.
He's an absolute bastard.
But as Rob says, I don't think Sergio's quite done with it yet. There'll be a bit of wrestling for it, I think, for the baton.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sergio will carry on doing whatever he wants, but not so effectively, let's be honest.
The Monthly Rugby Podcast Awards account gets in touch and says, good as the video the WRU did. He said, some cunts moaning that it's a kick in the teeth for schoolboy rugby in Wales. Honestly, I don't know how people can see videos like that and find anything to moan about, but they can, can't they?
Just fuck off. I'm just so bored of it.
And then England had done one. I actually missed it, to be fair. I don't know how, but I had. And I was like, but England did it first. And I was like, yeah, but okay, I didn't see England. That's great as well. Well done, everyone.
Also,
it's all great news.
This one's totally different. that just used like clips and comments of them playing youth rugby, and this one just went to their rugby clubs. They're two totally different concepts.
And anyway, good work all round for recognising where players have come from. And actually, rugby, if it is rugby...
It's not a revolutionary concept, though, is it? Oh, remembering where players have come from. When they, you know,
and it's a lovely play on rugby's heritage and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And everybody starts. It's really nice. I thought it was very nice. Yeah. And let's stop being pissy about it, really.
Yeah. It's not like they've sort of ripped off The Godfather, is it? You know, the one creative industry had a vaguely similar idea to another one. That was quite obvious.
And they were both well done in slightly different ways.
Executed them really, really well.
Yeah, the box did something similar, apparently, but I missed that one as well.
Yeah, it's not...
Because it's a good idea that gets people all twinkly and sparkly-eyed and, you know...
People love nostalgia.
They love that shit.
No shit. Stop being such... I can't believe I'm going to say this, but stop being such humourless twats about it.
Woof.
I know.
But what you made him do. Finally, the Jackalist says, good is some World Cup warm-up games that were finally old-fashioned shambolic bobbins. They've been far too serious so far, and it's not our fault you sold £40 tickets. I want probables versus possibles and an error-strewn display of injury avoidance. Yes.
Yeah. I think we definitely... This felt like the weekend and last weekend, to be fair, as well, where there was a lot more of that shit.
There's a lot more of luck. Can we please just get on a plane so I can actually feel like this is actually happening? And this podcast is with you. Have you got anything else before we finish?
No, I don't think so. No.
Thank you, everybody, for your time. We didn't even talk about the games this weekend, and we've still managed to do an hour and 20 minutes. I think even for us, that's going some. Thank you very much, all of you, for your time. We'll be back to start our World Cup warm-ups. Not warm-ups. Jeez, it's on my brain. I can't shake it. Our World Cup previews will start.
We've got to have our pre-season now.
Yeah, we have, yeah. We need to have a better performance than this week, let me tell you. Somebody's going to get a bollock. We're both getting our hair cut by Andy Farrell tomorrow. Yeah, thank you very much. See you, everyone, guys. Ta-da.
Bye.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes, a Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.